Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome back everyone who is joining us and commend you for joining us again to Dr. Jack Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. I'm Donna Smith, and I'm here with Leon Mauser, who is a personal friend of Dr. Jack Gresham. Now, Dr. Jack Gresham has spent decades studying the Bible and sharing that knowledge with others. And we are very excited to continue sharing his work with you through Dr. Jack Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. You can catch up with other episodes, podcasts, in addition to asking questions, which we would love to hear. It's at the website, drjackslantern.com, the doctor being abbreviated to DR. And before we start this podcast, we'd like to say a quick prayer. So if everyone will bow your heads, we ask the Holy Spirit of Truth to come into our hearts and to shed the brightness of your light on all nations and on what we are trying to pass on to other people, opening up God's word and hopefully enlightening our hearts on how to lead a better life with aligning ourselves with God. We ask this in our precious Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Donna. Well, hello, everyone. Congratulations for being here today. We're going to continue our discussion on the topic of making decisions. Real quick recap of where we are now. We started out with developing your belief system, where you have that from when you just started walking and all of the influences that you have had along the way, and all of the right choices that you've made because your belief system is your filtering system. And we want to talk to also about self-acceptance as to how do you feel about yourself. And so today we're going to be talking about making decisions. Now, from smallest decisions to big decisions, you know, it does take courage to make some decisions. And as a matter of fact, if you think about it for a second, you're making decisions all the time, every day. So we want to make the right choices. And we want to need to know what our belief system is and how we can keep it aligned with God using our belief system and also being able to address people and their second commandment without having God's name in vain, which is all about.
Yeah, Leon, most of us know that God's letter to us, the Bible, has actually given us the instructions that we need to come back to him. And it's all there in the Bible. It pretty much starts for us with the Ten Commandments. And last week we did cover the first commandment. And again, everyone can listen to that podcast when you go to drjackslantern.com. But I do want to point out that in many Jewish beliefs, we covered the first and the second commandment because they combine, I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. And then they say the second commandment is you shall not recognize the gods of others in my presence. And that's in the Jewish religion. But we recognize that that first one isn't really a commandment. So it doesn't command anybody. And so our second commandment is a little different. And why don't you go ahead and it's from Exodus 20. We have the second commandment.
Yes, we have that. It's from Exodus 20, the second commandment, the way we're looking, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And notice, this is the only commandment that says we will be punished for using his name in vain. You know, God's name is so important that the commandments that are talking about giving God a bad name or diminishing his name or saying things about him. And just many people do that right, just unconsciously. They use his name in vain, sort of as a kind of a slang, which, you know, is totally unbelievable that they do that because, you know, they're just falling themselves. They're falling away from God by taking his name in vain. And, you know, many Orthodox Jews won't even write the word God completely, because unless it's referring to him in a sacred text, or even saying his name, that his name is holy. And, you know, if we look at it, people that have written all of the beautiful hymns in the Christian religions, they only say once his name is holy. They not only say twice his name is holy, but his name is so holy that they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is his name." Now, what is in a name?
That, you know, it's interesting. I forget that in so many of our prayers, like you said, Leon, people, it's holy, holy, holy. It's three times because God is that sacred. He is that holy. And if people just sit and think about it, when we're talking about, you know, people go, well, you make me look bad in front of people. You know, you said something and what about when people go, oh, yeah, well, he did a Jeremy, you know, and they're referring to poor Jeremy, who at one time used to fall over his feet or something or whatever. And they, oh, you pulled a Jeremy. You're misaligning that person's name with something that's bad. And so when we use our Lord's name in vain for no particular purpose or on purpose in a bad way, it is diminishing God's holiness, his sacredness. And it literally makes people not respect, not have as much awe or reverence to him. And people are so into names. We understand that. It goes back to sacred texts. But just even think to the 1960s. You know, in the 1960s upheavals, and even though I'm sure there's a lot of people who were not even close to being near that, they probably weren't even a figment in their parents' eyes, you know, or hearts or whatever. But in that time, most people know that a lot of things were happening, and they changed their names as a sign of rebellion, or they wanted to show that they have a new beginning in their life or a new value system. And they changed their names to things that had to do with nature or planets or, you know, the plants. You probably know, Leon and I definitely, I'm sure we both know people that were named Autumn or Summer or Venus, Daisy.
Yes, it is. And there was a time when that was happening and then they grow up, they go, why was I named Venus? But even some Muslim or African Americans, they change their names to represent their faith. Let's take, for instance, a boxing champion, Muhammad Ali, his name before he changed it was Cassius Clay. Another one in that category would be basketball player Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he changed his name to a Muslim name from Lew Alcindor. You know, changes in names, they can also denote a destiny for a person. You know, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. And those were in preparation of fulfilling their destiny with God. You know, the father host of all nations, mother gave rise to nations and rulers of all peoples in Genesis 17. Now, you know, and back in those days, people were conquering countries left and right. One country would conquer another country, and then there'd be a king, and he'd last 6 months until someone would come up and nail him and take over the country. And so there was in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, he brought Daniel and three of his friends because he found out of the country he's conquered, the three of the smartest people, and of course he wanted to surround himself with all of that knowledge, so he brought those into his fold, and he changed their names. And the reason he did that is one of the reasons is because he wants them to forget about their past and start anew. Just like Donna said, some people change their name to start anew. Well, the king is forced to do that, so they will have loyalty to the king. You know, Jesus changing Simon's name to Peter. Peter, the rock that he builds his church on. You know, therefore, there is more to a name than many people think. What names mean? Well, how important is a person's name? Well, I can attest you to the fact that you can give a person, use their name, is the biggest compliment you can give them. In the 12 years that I've been helping students, I've asked them, what is the highest compliment you can give a person? And you know, Donna, out of 12 years, none of them came up with it. They always say, oh, you're pretty, you're good looking, you fill the room with happiness. I saw a realtor on the back of his card said, if you give me a referral, that'll be the best you can do. And so, yeah, everybody's got their reason for having the best compliment you can give a person. But using their name is the best compliment you can make to a person.
And, I've practiced it.
I practiced it for decades. And it does take work. I mean, you're in a group of people and you give everybody's name. You're not going to remember any of the names. So what you want to do is take and focus and concentrate. When I meet someone, I'll say, hi, my name's Leon and your name is Betty. Well, Betty, that's a nice name. I have a cousin named Betty. So what I did is I just internalized that name by saying it more than once.
That's one of those great tricks that they tell people. If you want to remember people's name, make sure you say it right away. But I was taught the same thing, that they said the sweetest thing to a person's ears is their name, is saying their name. And it does mean special things. Again, even though people aren't thinking about that, we are drawing it. We're trying to draw everybody's attention to that, just as God has been saying in this commandment, saying your name means something. Just like we pointed out, Jesus changing, you know, Simon to Peter because it meant rock, and where he was going to build his rock on. Just like you pointed that out. Even there's all kinds of my parents. I'll use that example. My mom gave us a mug. And it had our name, and it gave a short description of what it meant. And I think mine meant lovely or something, you know, a few different things like that. I do know what it is, but, you know, I don't want to brag, you know, because I really like my name, and it's very true. And we do have to practice saying our names, and that's why we don't want to misalign it. When we're taking our Lord's name in vain, it happens on a regular basis, even on the movies, you know, doing that. Probably people in movies on sex. Okay, that would be one of the things I'll point out too. If people are going, oh God, you know, and they don't realize that that's disrespectful using it. It dishonors God and it breaks this commandment, which, as you pointed out, God says he's going to punish anyone who's defaming his name, misaligning it that way.
You know, that's true, Donna. And the way that, if you think about it, the way that you would make fun of a person's name, that would be the worst thing you could do. I mean, I've got a relative, he makes fun of my name, and it just really bothers me all the time. I even, you know, I hear he's coming over, I try to avoid him. But that's the opposite of X using their name, having them feel closer to you every time they do that. I've been in a lot of negotiations where that really is important to do. And also, we talk about the person's name. If you make fun of it, well, you're just making fun of a name. It's the same thing. Had God feels pretty bad when you make fun of his name, and you're the one that's going to pay for it.
I often wonder, because there are certain names, I'll say Jehovah, and Yahweh or Yahweh. And I often wonder sometimes if God is, you know, if it bothers him that we have so many different names because we're mispronouncing it or not saying it right or whatever. But I think it has to do with the intent. And people think, well, I'm not intending to do anything incorrectly. And I will even address that, you know, about taking the names, the Lord's name in vain. But I will point out, too, I think what's even worse of just saying it is how we attach such awful things. History is riddled with murder, rape, torture, plundering of God's, you know, using God's name in the plundering of the murder, the wars and all that. And they're using God's name saying it's that. That's profanity. That is such a deep profanity. It truly brings out the devil and Satan using that for me. That's exactly what he's doing there. So,
you know, and that is so true. You know, going back to understanding that a name means something, you know, cursing even beyond just God, let's look at Exodus 22, 28 in mind, and it says, "Do not blaspheme God or curse the ruler of your people." So not only not curse God, but whoever God puts in control and authority, it would be that same commandment. You know, it's not the same as holding them accountable or rebuking them. We see this currently in our leaders. I mean, God put those leaders there, and those leaders have authority over us because of that. But, you know, sometimes we might disagree with our authority. Well, we have the right to change the authority at the ballot box, or if you have a boss that is just terribly upsetting that you just don't even want to go to work because of it, you have the ability that you could change your job or position. You know,
that's a real good point, Leon. I mean, people don't realize there's a difference between holding someone accountable and disrespecting them by cursing them or doing misaligning their name, which I think we're seeing way too much of these days, not realizing that we are being very disrespectful. God puts it in, it's, you're not supposed to do it for him, that second commandment, but he told us we're not supposed to do it with others. We want to respect others, and using any profanity towards them, even in their presence, shows disrespect. And it, again, it's the same thing. It diminishes them in front of the eyes of others. So, you know, we kind of look like, what if somebody, ask yourself, and again, this is why we're using these podcasts, and we would love for people to say, let's do this in a meeting room. Let's get together with our peers. We want you to do this and talk together. So we have that ability with the way we do our podcasts and things to have these secure and private meetings and have in breakout groups. Because I would like everybody to think about this. What would bother you when people say your name in a negative manner?
You know, that's true. That's that's a good discussion topic we have. It's really what really happens when we curse God? You know,
yeah.
Blaming him for our own actions, mm-hmm. That's, if you think about it, he has no action. God is difficult. God is love. God doesn't bring on bad behavior. He gives us a free will, and that's where we get into trouble with our bad behavior and our actions. And he's not happy with our bitter consequences.
Well, I think that's a lot of times why people do curse and they don't realize that they're scapegoating. When they're blaming him for their actions or their behaviors. They're not happy with the consequences of their actions, and they're lashing out at him. They might be lashing out because of pain or disappointment, their losses, you know, somebody, you know, close to them passes away, and they're blaming God. And it's again, a lack of understanding of what really is going on. They don't understand sometimes senseless atrocities. How could God let this happen? And they start blaming him. And that's just scapegoating. We're avoiding responsibility of our own actions because, like you were saying, Leon, we have free will. Okay, and by the way, this has gone back since the beginning of time, because even Adam blamed God, saying, well, if you didn't give me Eve, well, I wouldn't have had this.
Yeah, you know, I hear people say that if Adam and Eve wouldn't have disobeyed God, we would still all be in the Garden of Paradise. And that's so untrue, because Dr. Jack, he says that if it wasn't Adam and Eve, it would have been one of us. We would have done the same thing, because that's what God did. Gave us the free will so we can use it to get ourselves in trouble sometime. But we need to take responsibility. We for allowing Satan to lead us. I mean, the temptations are out there. But if we can avoid those temptations, is how we won't fall away from our alignment with God. So we got to take courage to stand between evil, and you have to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it, because sin is not inevitable or unavoidable, and because that's God's rules, the ones we have to live by. You know, we're tempted continuously during the day to do what the devil would like us to do. But then again, God gave us that free will. Choose not to fall away from it.
That's right. That's right. A sin is an option. And if, in all honesty, if we wouldn't have done what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we'd be all living fine right now. You know, so the truth is we all are tempted and we all have that option to choose that. And that's why we talk about making decisions. How do we do that? How do we get good decisions? And we base it on, you know, God gives us it to us in the letter of the Bible. It is an option. Sin is definitely an option. And, you know, just as we are able to misalign, diminish a person by using their names and you know, destroy their trust and reputation, we also can do the opposite. Again, it's another option. He's saying, well, when you have the courage to stand up to evil, to wrongdoing, you have the power to inspire other people's goodness. So when other people are doing things like even misaligning God's name and cussing and stuff, we have an obligation to try and plant some seeds and try to inspire other people's goodness. We don't have a gun to our head, you know, to do wrong, but let's talk a little about social pressure. I mean, that whole trying to gain acceptance, perhaps that's even a worse coercion of our choices. Some of the things that it leads to, right? Right, Leon? The mob mentality.
Yeah, it leads to, what about mob mentality?
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying that says that it's very dangerous to have ignorant people in large groups is very dangerous. And so we have a mob mentality. And a lot of that's going on right now, Donna. People are just, they're abusing their right to go on ahead they're indoctrinated as to what they're doing now. And they want to be able to save people's lives, but they're doing it in the wrong way. And, you know, we didn't do that back in the 60s when I was a young guy. We were protesting, but we weren't protesting to hurt anybody. We were protesting to love everybody. And there's a big difference at what's going on in today's world, all the college campuses. Don, I would believe that probably most of those people really couldn't find a Palestine on the map. But all they want to do, they want to be part of an accepted group of people. And they're doing it in the wrong way. If that's all their interest is, there's so many different choices that they could make. You know, there's a lot of choices. Even in college, you know, we're free for the first time, and we're going to be able to do whatever we want. And so our free will is laid on the table for anybody to pick up and use. And that's not a real healthy thing to do.
Yeah, Leon, you are so right. I mean, the looting and the riots and all of that, and they're misaligning Israel and other people's names, the Jews. And anytime we do anything like that, that's reflecting on us. If people don't realize, you're shaming your family, you're shaming your city or country. It misaligns and diminishes whatever we're talking about. And that is back to the second commandment. And again, we're talking about the negative side of it, so we can turn around and go, hey, just as you are misaligning it in one way, you can flip that and plant some seeds by the way we react to people doing that. And I'd like to point out, like, something that someone else pointed out to me one time. We kept hearing someone say, Jesus Christ. Okay, and they were using it in a negative way, just or you know, just oh, it's part of their language. Oh, you know, and immediately you say is Lord. So when they say Jesus Christ, what is Lord? To finish that sentence, Jesus Christ is Lord, is perfectly fine. But just saying it for no reason is misaligning it. It's taking our Lord's name in vain. You plant a seed when you turn around and say is Lord, and they kind of look at you. And you go, I don't want to be punished, and I don't want you to be punished for saying that. And you point that out to them. Make them think about it. People say, God damn it, you know? And it's another one of those things where when I hear that, I look at them and I say, well, no, wait, what's he got to do with this? Why are you bringing him into the picture? It's planting seeds. I like to try and point it out. Instead of just ignoring it, it's trying to point out, I don't want to have that happen. And one other thing that I'd like to say that when I used to learn about this commandment, I used to think about that story, Peter and the Wolf. Do you remember that story, Leon?
Yes, I do.
And what was Peter trying to do every time he said wolf?
He was trying to attract attention.
Yeah, and then when he finally, yeah, so he wanted to make sure everybody would come if he yelled wolf. And when he actually needed them, and he started saying, wolf, 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 what happened then?
Well, they got tired of showing up, and they didn't believe him anymore. And so what he did, he really ruined himself.
And I often wonder, and I start to think, and I try to, you know, point out to other people, and say, what if that's what's happening? Can you imagine when you actually need him, you just yell, and he's not going to, he goes, ah, that's them cussing,
You know, Donna, when you're talking with a person and they say God's name in vain and like you say, want to go on ahead and correct it by saying he is Lord, you know, but a lot of they just say that when they're upset or they just say that out loud. They're not thinking about anything. It might be a little, it's going to take some courage to correct people at that. But remember one thing, though, that when we're trying to align and help people align themselves with their journey to God, you know, don't think of God's word as a brick to hit someone with. Think of God's word as bread to share with someone. And if you take that attitude into a conversation, I'm sure you will be successful at being able to change someone's interest in their mind.
That's excellent. And, you know, hopefully, in closing, hopefully we are now understanding, or people are understanding even better, the importance of not breaking this commandment and why it says God will not leave unpunished those who do. So don't take the Lord's name in vain. And even Leviticus 24:16, I'll remind everyone, it says, whoever blasphemies the name of the Lord shall be put to death. Now, vain and blasphemy are two different things. We won't get into that, but it's that important. It's that important. God is that sacred and holy. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Leon.
Thank you, Donna. And, you know, I'm really enjoying this podcast and hoping people will take it to heart.
I agree. If you have any questions or comments, we're always open. It doesn't matter if it's an older podcast. Please go to drjackslantern.com and pass this podcast on to others. Let us know if you want to do a joint meeting and ask any questions. So thank you again for joining us, everyone, and we hope to hear you next week or talk to you next week.
We'll see you again. All right. Thanks, Donna.